Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Rod Chalk inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
We're going to take three journeys today. We're going to look, and I'm going to see that we're going to look at Peter's journey. Love the guy. He makes me feel good. I mean, what you want to study? I mean, if you're new to Christ, go look at Peter. Watch Peter and you go, man, okay, I can do this. All right. You know, because Peter's the guy that he is just so impulsive, right? I mean, he's the guy, but what does Peter do? He's also the guy that actually gets out of the boat. Everybody else is sitting there waiting, going, let's let Peter do it. We're going to see, ooh, there goes Peter. Well, you know, that's the way it was. But see, Peter jumps out. Peter does all these things and Peter messes up continuously. But in our story, we're going to look at Peter and his journey through this time. We're going to look at the journey towards the cross that Jesus had to take. And then we're going to look at the journey of death and that moment on the cross. But we begin even before that, and we look at, I said, as Passover. And in Passover, and I don't have time this morning to go through exactly what all of that means, but we know that the Last Supper, if we call it, that's what we called it today. Really, we're talking about Passover again because they were doing the Passover meal. They weren't doing the Last Supper. Right? None of them knew what any of those words were. This was, even at the time, they still don't get it, that this is their Last Supper. And what really that means is their last Seder or their last Passover meal with Jesus. Now, he begins to tell them and begins to share with them and through this experience. But there's this phrase that I've heard different times. And maybe it's just me and I've been like just thinking about it, but The phrase is this, the doorposts of our life. And in other words, what's that mean? What that means is the seasons that we go in and out of. The doorposts of our life, in other words, we pass into this season, we walk through the doorposts. If you know anything about Passover, what did they have to do with those doorposts? They had to apply the blood of the lamb, right? The blood of the lamb, because the lamb and that the lamb's blood was that which was protecting them. Let me ask you a question. If they would have just sit there and sacrificed the lamb, because that's what they had to do. Remember, we're talking about being in Egypt, being in bondage. And then God says to his gives the Egyptians 12 different opportunities to begin to let his people go. But the final thing is it has to be this way. But it is a recognition, all of this, of what Jesus will do one day. He is the Lamb of God. He is the one who was slain from the foundations of the world, it says, right? So before time began, there was an understanding that he was going to be the Lamb of God, that he chose this moment. But when we see this, we recognize completely that it wasn't just enough for them to say, okay, well, we've sacrificed the lamb, but the wife steps in and goes, please don't put that gross stuff on the doorposts. It took me forever to get it cleaned off last time. Okay, you know, I mean, there was no last time, but you understand what I mean. Can you imagine as the story and as Passover actually becomes part of their regular yearly experience? But you see, they couldn't step the process. They had to what? They had to apply the blood. The sacrifice made it available, but there had to be the fact of they had to step in and apply the blood, and then they had to do one other thing. Does everybody remember what it is? They have to stay in the house, right? They have to stay under the protection. They have to stay in the house. And we're going to see some of that come up again today as we look through these accounts. But let's start with our favorite guy here. Let's start with Peter. So go with me in your Bibles. Open up your phones or bring your Bibles, hopefully with you. But Mark chapter 14, and we're going to do this. I did this last week. Those kids in the room that you'll hear, this is some of what I taught even last week. When we do upstairs, I don't just sit there and tell a little story. I mean, I'm preaching. Last week, we had a great time upstairs. And I'm telling you, in the midst of the teaching, the presence of God began to move. And some of us might not have completely seen what was happening. But you know how I immediately began to recognize something was different? I shared this back in a prayer meeting. Everybody was quiet. So when kids are either quiet, there's two things that happen. They're either paying attention or they've gone somewhere and you better find them because something's happening. Okay, right? In those moments. You know, but in this moment, everybody became quiet and everyone was glued. And in this moment, though, we look and we see Peter. So if we pick it up in verse 27, and Jesus said to them, you will all fall away and desert me. Can you imagine? You're there to celebrate. You're there to be together. And then Jesus says, listen to me, everybody. All of you are going to fall away. And then this word, and you will desert me. This will fulfill the prophecy of the scripture that says, I will strike down the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. Well, Peter, again, what do we say? Peter's the one that just sits there and risks everything. He's all in all the time, whether he can figure it out or not. But in this, Peter then says this. He says in verse 29, even if all the rest of those, come on now, right? He's looking over. Can you imagine Peter goes, listen, you bunch of losers, all the rest of you might do this, but it's not going to be me. Come on, can you, seriously, can you hear him going, yeah, you know who it is, right over here, right? Okay. But he says, even if all the rest lose their faith and fall away, I will still, this is the words from the Passion Translation, I will be beside you. Come on, catch that. I will be beside you. Then verse 30, Jesus says to him, mark my words, Peter. This very night, before the rooster crows twice, a few hours from now, you will deny that you even know me three times. And you see, but Peter, what's he do again? He doesn't just stop and go, okay, Lord, yes. He's like absolutely completely all in. He's sold out. He's just like, this is it. And he says this in verse 31. But Peter was insistent and replied emphatically, I will absolutely not. Under no circumstances will I ever deny you, even if I have to die with you. And all of the others repeated the same thing. And that's found in verse 31. You see, I've known some people, and I've not really had the sense of going too far with this, but I've had some experience with this. But I don't say this next part as a judgment on anybody, but I have close friends, and I know people, I know pastors, I know leaders, I know people that have been following God since they were like very young, like myself, that do not serve the Lord anymore, that have completely walked away from God. I know pastors that I went to Bible school with that were in the ministry, and the things that happened and the stuff that they went through drove them so to the point where all their focus was on that. And it began to drive them farther and farther and farther and farther. And if you would have known some of them in the days when they were here, what were they doing? They were being just like Peter, saying, not going to be me. I'm just praising God with everything. You know, they were just all in for everything. And one of them that I know that 5 years later, they have completely denied and walked away. We see this happening right now in society. You know, it's called this deconstructing of your salvation. And to me, there's so many that have just caught onto this, and it becomes like a disease that begins to spread. And I'm not talking about the fact of having questions that need to be answered, right? There's a difference. I'm not talking about burying your head in the sand. I'm talking about being willing to ask tough questions and begin to go through and look and see and be willing to say that no question cannot be asked. Because in this moment, does anybody have any questions? Come on now, right? You're just like, okay, that don't make sense. That part just doesn't fit what this says. And we've got questions, but what happens is if we don't get an opportunity to express them and ask them, even if we don't get the answer to them that we're looking for, but if we do not ask them, if we bury them down deep and bury them away because we feel like we can't, it becomes like a cancer inside of us. And before you know it, we have begun to deny Christ. And I look around the room right now and you say, well, that's pretty heavy duty, Pastor Rod. But seriously, it's not a matter of looking at anybody else. It's looking at yourself in this moment and saying, where will I be in 5 years? All the things that happen, all the stuff that's happened, if I even go through whatever I'm going through, I have this choice in the midst of it that am I going to, and we're going to see that Peter chooses the right way at the very end of everything. But this is what happens in the midst of the story. We see then that Peter, let's go to Mark chapter, again, you're there at 14. Let's go to 66 and let's take a look. Now, as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus of Nazareth." But he what? He denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you are saying." And he went out on the porch and a rooster crowed. So there's one. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, "This is one of them, for sure." But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, "Surely you are one with him, for you are a Galilean and your speech gives you away." In other words, your speech shows it. And then he began to what? Come on now, this is this powerful moment here. Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." And a second time, the rooster crowed. If you go over to verse 61 in Luke chapter 22, you don't have to go there right now, but all the gospels they take it from a different picture. They see a different part. Remember, some of them were there physically. John was there in these moments, but others of them weren't there. Peter knows the story. We know that Luke a lot of times relied on Peter to write his gospel in this moment. But we see that they each have a different perspective. They even saw it differently of what's going on in some ways. But we look over in this powerful verse in the New King James Version, Luke chapter 22 and 61, and it says, "And the Lord turned and looked at Peter." Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Rooster crows, you look over, and Jesus is there looking at you. Now, let me ask you a question. What do you think his face was saying in that moment? Remember who he is. See, this moment, to me, I grew up with the thinking in my head that he must have been doing this. Watch. He must have been doing. Maybe even. But see, the Jesus that I've got to know over the last 58 years was probably, with tears in his eyes, drawing Peter back to himself. Removing condemnation in the moment and in the second, and drawing him back in the midst of his greatest failure. Because what does it say there then in Luke 22, verse 62? It says, "Peter burst into tears and ran off from the crowd and wept bitterly." See, in these moments, we have to be so very careful that we are applying the blood of Jesus. We are applying, what I mean by that is that we are trusting that God knows. That when the situations happen for us, when we have difficult things happen, when things just don't go as planned, when things just don't make sense, when discouragement and disappointment come in, we've got to take the moment and go, "Lord," and I'm telling you, this is hard. I'm speaking this from experience now. When things just don't go, if you don't deal with them, they begin to control you and they begin to be how you see everything. When there's great loss, when there's great frustration, when something just doesn't work, if we're not sitting there at that moment, and it can be, you know, I'm not perfect. I don't always respond properly. Anybody with me? Or am I, you know, I just don't respond properly. I'm like, when will I get it? And I wish that I would respond better. But in that moment, I just then choose. And lately I've had to say, "Lord, I don't understand that part. But Lord, I trust you that you have a plan and that you know. And if it's not good, you're not done." Say it again. If it's not good, you're not done. And it doesn't mean that there's some things that can't seem to change, but he begins to change us instead. But we walk through this and we find, and we, you know, if you look at Peter, then we'll catch him just at the very end. And I got to go into a little bit more here. But let me give you the journey to the cross. So we see that Jesus now, they have the Garden of Gethsemane, and they walk through and they're supposed to be there for him. And again, the opportunity to be there for Jesus, to be praying for him. And what do? Fall asleep. Come on, I'm looking at myself in the midst of that. You know, they're tired, they're exhausted. They're just like, can't believe this is happening and what's Jesus talking about and all of these things. And they fall asleep in that moment. And then all of a sudden we know that the palace or the guards come with the high priests and those that were there, and the high priest's servant is there. And we know that in those moments, we know it's Peter because John tells on him. All the rest of the gospels, they just say one of the disciples. John's like, no, it was Peter, okay, in there. And so Peter pulls out his sword and he cuts off the ear of the high priest's servant. And in that moment, Jesus is like, put the sword away. And you got to look at all the different gospels to hear this part of it, because they all have a piece of it. He says, put the sword away. Do you think I would not partake of my Father's cup? In other words, don't stop this from happening. And then, see, if you read this story, read the Passion translation of it, and it says that, see, I always had this thought when I was younger, and I when I went to Bible college, I realized that wasn't it. But I thought he picked up the ear off the ground and, you know, stuck it back on, kind of deal. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say that anywhere. It says that he reached out his hand, put his hand on the side of his head, and it says he healed him. So what does that mean? An ear grew instantly right there. I'm like, wow. In the midst of what he knew was going to happen, he stops and takes care of one who's coming against him. Right? In the midst of that moment, when he knows why they're there, he doesn't stop being who he is. So what somebody else is doing doesn't stop him from being who he is. Come on now, catch that, right? What anybody else is doing doesn't stop him. He doesn't change and become like them and become aggressive in the moment. He is true to who he is, no matter if they or what they're doing. And we see this then that, again, so we see it begins to happen. He's brought to the high priest. The high priest, I'll go through this quickly, then begins, they send him to Pilate. Pilate sends him to Herod. Herod sends him back to Pilate. You know, he's going all over the place. Pilate offers to release Jesus, and the high priest began to stir up, if you know, at the time that they always released one of the prisoners at that time. And so Pilate's trying to convince them, like, let's let Jesus go. Because he looks over, he goes, this is an innocent man. Let's let Jesus go. And he's trying to give this, he's just trying to make it happen. And the high priest began to stir up, and those that were there, the religious people, began to stir up the crowd, even to the point of looking like a riot. You know anything about Rome? You know anything about that stuff? If you had a riot in your town, Caesar's coming to check it out. He himself is not coming, but he's sending someone in, and you are in trouble. They did not like riots in that time period, and there was severe consequences for whoever who was in leadership. And so they know, like, okay, you're stirring it up, and they start yelling, and they want Barabbas to be released instead of Jesus. They began yelling then at another point to crucify him. And they began to say this awful phrase, let his blood be upon our heads and the heads of our children. Come on now, what a phrase in that moment in there. But they don't, you know, they just think that they're standing up. They think that they're doing the right thing, some of them in this moment. Then Pilate has him flogged. So we grab our story again in John 19 and 1. And it says, then Pilate ordered Jesus to be brutally beaten with a whip of leather straps. This is what the Passion Translation says, embedded with metal. And we know that that is the cat of nine tails, right? And this is this sense of understanding that when Jesus was flogged, and I know there's kids in the room, so I gotta be a little bit more tamed down if you understand in this, but you can imagine what that cat of nine tails with little pieces of metal, little pieces of glass at the end, what its purpose was. It was to begin to ravage his flesh. Have you ever seen or ever heard that phrase used before? The fact of that disease is just ravaging his flesh. See, in this moment, what Jesus is doing is Isaiah 53, 4 to 7. Right in this moment, right here, I'll read it to you. Surely he has what? Borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. It's going to be important at the end here. And yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our, and the chastisement, in other words, the punishment that needed to happen for our peace, it says, was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Now, Peter goes ahead and he changes that at the end when he quotes from here and he says, by his stripes, we were healed, because he refers back to the cross and to this moment. But you see, Jesus took in that what we needed for the healing that we need in our lives. I say it this way whenever I take communion, he was broken so that we didn't have to be. I didn't say that we weren't. I said so that we don't have to be. That in every moment, there's an opportunity for us to have healing from our brokenness. Now, let me give you a few interesting facts and we'll begin to close. We'll come to a wrap here. We see then, you know, the story that goes along, and they take Jesus and what these, I can't imagine. Now, they didn't understand. I don't think fully those guards knew what they were doing or who they were doing this to. But they weave together what? A crown of thorns. Let's go back over to Genesis. Now we're going to take that trip over to Genesis chapter 15. And what does in this moment, if you look up, you'll find, what is it that in, if you look at Genesis chapter 3, and we go to 18 really in there, or 17 around there, it says, cursed is the ground. He's talking to Adam, right? This is the curse for what they have done. For Adam, he says, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat it, and all the days of your life. And what does it say then? Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. What was the crown made of? Thorns. He's going back to the garden to reverse the curse. He's on the cross. He's about to go on the cross, sorry. But in that moment, he takes the crown of thorns to reverse the curse. And in this moment, I think that because something, here we got to realize, because something has yet to happen, doesn't mean it's not available. Say that again. Because healing hasn't happened doesn't mean it's not available to us. To have a land that produces much crop, because we haven't seen it fully yet. We've seen it some places, but it doesn't mean it's not available to us. That Jesus, with the crown of thorns, taking that on his head, was reversing the curse in this moment. If we look then and we begin to follow through and we see where the cross, we go to Galatians, look at this verse and we see here, let me show you, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, yet Christ paid the full price to set us free from the curse of the law. He absorbed the curse completely as he became a curse in our place. For it is written, everyone who is hung upon a what? A tree is cursed. That word tree is synonymously used and exchanged a lot in scripture for cross, going back to the tree. And it's not talking about because the cross was made of wood. It's moving us back to the garden, that what happened in the moment in the garden, that the tree that they weren't supposed to take from, that when they took the fruit from the tree, there began to be a curse. So Jesus then goes back, goes up onto a cross, onto a tree, to begin to restore what needs to happen. He reverses the curse by being lifted up. We know that scripture that talks about, unless I am lifted up, all men will not be drawn towards me. And we see this with the cross. We see this, and there's so much here, but we see this when we talk about his hands were pierced. We know that they took the fruit, that moment of taking the fruit with their hands. And we know that his hands then are nailed to the cross, again, reversing the curse. This, a lot of this stuff, I love listening to Rabbi Jason Sobel, just a great man who really teaches a lot of these things. And I wish there are things that God has given me, but these are some of the things that he's given him and Joe Amaral and many others about understanding truly what is happening. But if we think about it, I love what he says about the feet. He says, what was it again? Going back to Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed, and he shall bruise your head. And and he shall, but he, you shall bruise his heel. In other words, he shall crush, actually that word is, your hand. And so Rabbi Sobel talks about it this way. He says, Satan thought if he just nailed his feet to that cross, then he couldn't crush his head. But understanding that in that moment, in that nailing, that is exactly what was happening, reversing the curse. And these things begin to happen. Talk about the last thing here, that in the Last Supper, the Passover, the Seder, there are four cups. And those cups represent redemption. And they represent spiritual redemption, emotional redemption, relational redemption, and physical redemption. Jesus has done all of those things for us. To have this spiritual connection, to have salvation. Do you know that we can be as good as we want? Sometimes there's a concept out there that if I just do more good things than bad, I will be able to go to heaven one day. I'm in deep trouble if that happens. But I am so grateful that Jesus came, died on the cross for me, that I can take his perfection as my own. It's the only way it works. That I say, yes, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins, wash me clean, and make me whole. And then we begin this journey together. Stand with me this morning. Have your communion ready. Let me just wrap this up as we're standing. In this season that we as, can I just talk to those of you, that, and this will apply to everybody, but those walking with us at Ascent Church here. The season, we need everyone. We need you. But you know how I've got some things that I've got to let go of. Anybody else? Got a things that are just going to be like, that's got to go. But it's not just about trying to forget and move on. It's about taking a minute, applying the blood, which means, Lord, I trust you. That you are making all things good. So just as you close your eyes for a second, and if you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, not about attending a church, this moment right now, it's as simple as saying, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I'm a sinner. I mess up so much. Forgive me for my sin. Wash me clean. Come into my life that we can walk together in this journey of life. And then we will welcome you into this family with us. But we take right now, and this is, I know, go ahead and peel off the top of this. For those of you who don't know, one time when we came here, we had fishy crackers. That was the first church I ever walked into that had fishy crackers. And I'm like, wow, that's awesome. Okay. It's like a snack and communion all at once, right? Because this is, okay, so. But this represents his broken body. So please, can we do what I sometimes do and just take it in your fingers like this and break it? And so, Lord, we thank you for your broken body. And even when things don't make sense, and even when we don't understand, and even if when we don't see healing come, and even when we don't see the things that we think should happen come, right now I step closer to you. And I believe that you have made a way for our healing, that by your stripes we are healed. Teach us, Lord. Show us your ways. Show us your path. That we can walk in everything that you're doing. We thank you right now, Lord, for your broken body for us. Let's partake together. And lastly, we have the cup. Before we partake, can we just say thank you, Jesus? Can we just, come on, let's lift our voices together. Let's focus for a second. Lord, we thank you.
We thank you for what you have done, Lord. We were lost. If I walk away from you, I am lost, Lord. I cannot do this without you, Lord. Thank you for everything you reversed. Thank you for everything that you've done. I want to walk closer to you, Jesus. That's my heart's desire, Lord. Move beyond all the junk, all the stuff, and walk closer and closer and closer to you. So we lift this cup, which represents the blood of Jesus. It's not gross. It's not weird. Without his blood, there's nothing to apply. And so, Lord, symbolically, although we know this is just simply juice and will stay as juice, but while we take this, we apply it to our bodies right now with expectation for your abundant life to begin to flow and mix with ours. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's partake.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.